Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 289 of Geek Town Radio. I'm back this week with Matt. How are you doing?
I'm good, David. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks. So what have you been up to the last few weeks?
Been dipping back into my Apple TV Plus subscription, which I've luckily got free until December, which feels like I've got it for quite a while at the moment, but December will soon be here and that subscription will soon be running out. But if they continue to make the good shows that I've been watching, such as Servant, I will possibly keep it. Depends on what it's priced at that point and, you know, what's...
I think it's $5.99 currently, so it's horrendous. But
yeah, it's $5.99 at the moment. But what I mean is, like, if they, you know, put the price up or whatever, we'll see how things go. But it's 4 for 4 for me in terms of the TV side of Apple TV Plus, because I enjoyed Central Park, I enjoyed The Morning Show, I enjoyed Ted Lasso, which I talked about on here a couple of weeks ago, which I've since finished, and Servant is the fourth out of those four that I've really enjoyed. So Apple TV Plus is doing really well. A bit different in terms of the films, because they did release Cherry on Friday, which I did review at the weekend. I didn't particularly like, but in terms of TV stuff, they're doing really, really well. Servant, which is from, is it M. Night Shyamalan?
Yes,
him. Shyamalan, he's one of the executive producers on the series. And one thing I really like, well, there's a lot of things I really like about Servant. One thing that it's a very good TV show. The other thing is most of the series takes place in this house. And it's very surprising with, because they've had 19 episodes in total, because 10 for the first season and 9 so far for the second season. I think the finale goes out this Friday, the 10th episode of season 2. Right. I think so anyway. But yeah, most of both of those seasons have been set within this particular house, and it's amazing the mileage that they've been able to get out of it. But one thing that really helps with the pacing, and I continue to talk about this the more that shows do it, is these 30-minute episodes that these shows do. We've had another recent example recently of a show that's successfully done that with slightly longer episodes, but WandaVision did that really good, sort of 30, maybe 38, 40-minute-ish episodes. So I think there's enough proof there, so to speak, and with lots of other shows in the past as well. If you have longer episodes, like let's say 50 plus minutes, it doesn't necessarily mean that the show is going to be better. Because to me, if you try to do more with less, like WandaVision, Mandalorian, Servant, I could go on. Yeah. These shows that have got 8 to 10 episodes, 30 to 40 minutes, and trying to do more with less screen time, which means that your pacing will probably end up better, all three of those shows that applies to. And The Servant just continues that sort of trend. I mean, it's been a bit of a trend since we've had, you know, streaming services have been more of a regular thing, you know, because Apple's trying these shorter episodes now and other shows as well. But yeah, one of the other things I really like about Servant as well, apart from the pacing and the episode lengths, it sets a tone almost within the first 20 to 40 seconds from the first sort of greeting at the door, where the servant character Leanne actually arrives and meets Sean and Dorothy at the door. Even from their first sort of conversation, and they show Leanne around the house because they give her sort of like a house tour because she's going to be their servant, given the name of the series, because basically they're these kind of rich, well, they seem to be quite rich, they've got quite a lot of wine, they've got a huge like wine cellar thing. She's like a newswoman, she does the evening news, and the husband is a chef. So they've got this son called Jericho, and they're trying to get somebody to, you know, help out a bit more, servant kind of thing. And Leanne steps in, she's this young kind of woman and everything, and just from the tone they set straight away, the first couple of conversations conversations, you get a really just interesting tone right from the start, and it pulled me in straight away because I thought, huh, just the sort of, I don't know, the presentation and everything of the show, the tone, and also, again, going along with what Apple TV Plus has been doing, the production value on these shows as well, this show included, is just incredible. You know, when you're watching or playing something and you just think, okay, more attention to detail has been put into this and it's making the experience of this thing better. You could apply that to Servant as well. But in terms of being creepy and having horror elements, which it's a horror series, I would say that if you're not a particular like massive horror fan, which I know you aren't massively into horror, I'd still recommend it. I still think there's enough outside of the horror elements to sort of serve other audiences as well. So I think it's quite good. But yeah, really, really enjoying that, and looking forward to the season finale this Friday. Have you seen any of it at all?
I haven't, no. It's one that I've not gone to. But again, because it's a sort of horror thing, and I know it's psychological horror. I just haven't got around to it yet. It's an interesting cast, though. I mean, Rupert Grint's in there. Nell Tiger-Free, who some people will know as Marcella, I think it was, Baratheon from Game of Thrones. She was in for a number of seasons, so that she plays the nanny. And the two leads are Lauren Ambrose and Toby Kebbell. Sort of interesting cast sprinkled in there. It's not one that I've caught yet. It's interesting. There's two shows in the list that I see you haven't got to watch, and there are two that I thought you would have gone to. Out of the Apple TV stuff, For All Mankind and C, which are both the more genre shows out of all the Apple TV stuff. So I'm surprised you've not looked at either of those yet.
I'm going through the catalogue slowly. So I will get to those shows eventually, but I'm trying to do sort of one at a time. Servants, for just across the board, you know, all the different categories in which it can be good, it is. And I'm looking forward to the finale on Friday. Speaking of horror, gone back to Last of Us 2 again, which I know is a game I've mentioned not just on here, but a number of times on my own things. I have a dedicated podcast for The Last of Us as well, not just for the game, but the upcoming TV show. And there's plenty of things for me to talk about with those two things combined. Gone back to do my collectibles run. I am watching Brian from PS4 Trophies, his guide video, because there's no way I'd find all that stuff on my own. I'd have to do several runs of the game. So I sort of changed my approach halfway through, because what I decided to do was a new game plus, if that makes sense. And I thought, okay, I'll go from start to finish, because I'm not going to miss any collectibles if I watch the YouTube video. And I thought, okay, I'll watch to see where he finds an artifact or workbench or whatever, and I'll just keep doing that. But it got a bit sort of like, pick the controller up, play a bit of the game, find the collectible, put the controller down, look at the phone, watch the next bit. But it was too much like stop start, and I thought, I don't think I need to go through the whole game, because I remember with the second playthrough, I did the new game plus playthrough, where I looked in like loads of corners and things, I did find quite a few things. So I stopped doing the whole back to front playthrough of the game. So I went to my 26 hour completed new game plus save, checked the chapters, and I was only missing like maybe 10 things in total completely for the whole game. And I thought, okay, I'll try a thing to where, okay, look at which chapters I have or haven't got particular things in. Some chapters I'd gotten everything, some chapters I hadn't, some I was missing like one or two things, which was a little bit frustrating. So I thought, okay, I'll go chapter by chapter, and it's been a lot better. I got two trophies yesterday from doing this, so you can already tell that the progress has been a lot quicker because I've already gotten trophies from it. I found all the workbenches in the game, and I've now got all the artifacts in the game, which is good. So, but what I was concerned with is, if I load the completed new game plus, go back to the main menu, do chapter select, can I go chapter by chapter, and will it save properly? And the method I was using sort of has been working out, and it's been keeping the progress getting tracked. So that's been really good. Still thoroughly enjoying the game. I just wanted a quicker way of doing what I was trying to get done. So yeah, that's been very good. The only kind of thing that's a little bit different is when I finish a bit of progress in a chapter and go to a new one and then load that chapter, my ammo amount is like completely random, because there's no reason for it to save, you know, 5 bullets with this gun, 1 arrow, whatever. That seems to be kind of random, but I'll, you know, that's a different thing to deal with. But it's been quite good. I've got 2 trophies from it so far, and I'm just going to keep doing the system that I've sort of got now. So that's been quite good. Cool. Have you played it yet?
No, I still haven't got around to it yet. I will do at some point. I just barely use the PS4 very much, let alone getting a PS5. It's one of the things that has kind of put me off spending money getting a PS5. I mean, apart from the fact that you can't find them anywhere, but you know, it's one of the things that have kind of put me off it, because I just don't play it enough. I play so much more on PC, and it's just, I don't know. I will get to it at some point, I'm sure.
It's weird how long it's been out for now. We waited for it all this time and it was June last year. So yeah. It'd be a year in June. So that's cool. The next two things, two TV shows that I've watched, Big Sky, which is going out weekly on Star. That's an ABC show, isn't it? I think it's got 16 episodes for its first season. I tried to look up how many are sort of aired. Really, really enjoying it so far. They've really taken some big risks, big sort of twists and turns and that kind of thing. I mean, the ending of that first episode alone is just wow. I didn't quite see that coming.
Yeah, that was sort of, right, I need to watch the next episode right now after seeing
the first two released together, didn't they?
I think so,
because we've had four or five now, so it's a fair way into the season. Really, really like it. It's another one of those shows, a bit like with Servant, where you've got kind of a small scale idea in a way. Like, there's not many things in the show, but they're managing to get a lot out of what they've got. Given where the most recent episode goes, and I won't spoil it, it'll be very interesting to see where they go for the next, even the next one or two episodes. What do you think of the show?
I'm really enjoying it. It's really interesting. There's no renewal information on it yet, although I don't know how it ends. So maybe it was a one-off thing. I don't know. I'm not sure. That might be the case. Although I think if there is any way of bringing it back, they'll bring it back, because it's been such a huge hit for ABC. I think there is a fair chance that it may return in one form or another, assuming there is a way of doing that. But I really enjoyed it. That sort of twist at the end of the first episode is brilliant. And where it goes on from there, the characters are very well drawn out. The acting's really good. I think I mentioned when I watched the first episode, I went straight from finishing Vikings and thought, oh, I'll go and watch Big Sky, not realizing that it was Catherine Winnick in both shows. So I went from watching her as a Viking into watching her as a cop in this, or a private detective. Just really solid cast, a very, very good, interesting drama, in that there's a sort of mystery going on, except you're seeing both sides of it, which is quite interesting. You know, it's not like who's taken these kids. You are seeing exactly what's happening on both sides, and it's just whether the characters can actually figure it out. It's a really good, solid crime drama, so I'm very much enjoying that.
Did you see this week's episode? You like that one? That was very interesting.
Yes, I like this one as well. I'm really intrigued to see where it goes and where they end up with it, because there are various different directions. But David D. Kelly, who created the series, has created some great shows, and I think this is certainly up there with some of the other stuff. So
definitely, but looking forward to more of that. And thank you, Star, for putting episodes out weekly and not dumping 10 episodes on my feet. I just appreciate that.
I am actually enjoying the fact that some of them are starting to put them out weekly, and you've got this nice balance. There are some things that are coming out as box sets, and that's fine. But if Big Sky had come out as a box set, I would have binged through it in like a day, you know, or, you know, a weekend or whatever. I'm kind of glad that we're getting a kind of mix of things coming out that way now.
Yeah. Last thing, which is also a Star show, which I think is a Hulu show.
Yes, it is.
Dollface with Kat Dennings, who you all would have seen recently in WandaVision, which was very good as well. She was also in Two Broke Girls. Not that anybody particularly remembers that series, but it was a good show, but it got cancelled a long time ago, unfortunately. I really like Dollface. I really like the little twists that they got with it as well. The sort of this like other angle of this cat woman. I don't know what else to call her.
Yes, as I think I mentioned last week, we're not talking about like leather and a whip cat woman. We're talking about literally a woman with a cat for a head. So
a little bit sort of like, if you took, there was a character exactly like that in BoJack Horseman. If you took that sort of character, Caroline, I think her name was, if you took that character from BoJack Horseman and just made them live action, as opposed to animated. So what do you think of the show so far? I think it's really good.
I'm really enjoying it. I mean, the basic premise of it is woman dumped by boyfriend realizes that all of her friends have sort of drifted away in the 5 years she's been in this relationship, and she's having to go back and try and reconnect with this group of female friends and sort of work out how to be kind of a single woman again and how to get control of her life, because her life had been so wrapped up in this relationship. You've got this weird, almost Zoe's The Good Place strangeness going on in little chunks it's not quite as ingrained in the story as it is in something like Zoe's or The Good Place, but there are these weird little moments where she, you know, either her imagination goes crazy or she has a sort of psychological break of something where she drifts off in this odd direction. And like, there was an incident this week where her friends are arguing over something that she has said, but they're arguing with each other and they're at this lunch and the table starts to split apart, or she walks towards
them and everyone else is just acting totally normally and she's trying to like pull the table together.
So there's little things like that, and like you say, there's this woman that ends up being kind of her mentor, which is a woman with a cat for a head. It's just
a guide.
It's just wonderfully fun, and Kat Dennings is brilliant to watch on screen.
I think she's perfect for this role.
Just absolutely superb for this. I really enjoy her in anything. I used to enjoy her in Two Broke Girls as well, and she's wonderful in WandaVision, so I really, really enjoyed watching her in this. Again, it's another one that's going out weekly on Star on Disney Plus. It's well worth watching. I really enjoy this series. It's fun.
Yeah, that's what I've been up to. How about yourself?
Gaming wise, I've been playing around with a couple of post-apocalyptic city builders. There's one which is called End Zone World Apart, which is from Gently Mad Studios, and the other one is called Surviving the Aftermath, which is published by Paradox. It's from Iceflake Studios, and they're very similar in that it's a post-apocalyptic world. It's a city builder, so you're kind of plonking down things to kind of grow and expand this settlement, and you're basically trying to sort of attract people and build up this world and sort of rebuild the world in this post-apocalyptic wasteland where there's radiation and stuff. They've both got similar mechanics. One of them, I think, does it slightly better than the other. End Zone is a bit further on in its development. They're both in early access right now. End Zone is coming towards the end of its early access, so it's almost a complete game. And you can sort of tell, I think Surviving the Aftermath has a bit more work to do. End Zone is the one I would probably go for right now. But if you like those sort of, you know, city builders that are, you know, anything like Tropico, that sort of thing, it's that kind of thing, but set in this post-apocalyptic world. I'm really enjoying playing around with those. There are lots of sort of options of, you know, expanding out your home base and, you know, sending people out to get supplies. And there are nice little story elements. There are various areas where you can send them to around the map, and you send scouts out to sort of tell you what those areas are. And then you send a team out, much like you would do in something like The Walking Dead, and they go and try and raid it for supplies. And there are certain little actions you can do. So you get like this mini little story that you control of where you send the people when they go out for supplies and stuff. So got some really, really nice little elements in it, but it's End Zone is on Steam. It's $20.99 at the moment for the standard edition, and it's worth going to pick up. Surviving the Aftermath, like I say, is a little bit further behind right now, and that's about the same price. It's about £20. I mean, it's one of those that I think is worth keeping an eye on, Surviving the Aftermath, as its sort of development increases, but at the moment, End Zone is probably the one I would go for out of those two, but they're great if you like those city builders. TV wise, I've been watching through Condor, which is buried on the Sky box sets at the moment. It did go out, I think, on Sky One. They ran it out over a couple of weeks, I seem to remember originally, but it's a series which was on the Audience Network in the US and ran for two seasons. Then it wasn't technically cancelled. The Audience Network was cancelled. It shut down. They decided that they were going to shut the entire network. So it basically didn't have a home. Epix have actually picked it up and are airing the first two seasons in 2021. So if that goes down well, there is maybe a possibility that they may come back again, although there's no guarantee of that. There's no news either way on a season three, other than the fact that the network that it was on no longer exists. It's based on the novel 6 Days of the Condor by James Grady. The first season follows Joe Turner, who is this young CIA analyst. He's invented this system which helps predict when terrorist attacks will occur and who may be the perpetrators of them. His office gets attacked, and everybody is killed apart from him. And he then becomes the chief suspect in it. So it's got a little bit of sort of 24, a little bit of The Fugitive kind of going on in it. It's a really interesting cast of characters. It has a sort of Vikings Game of Thrones level of killing people off. I mean, that first season in particular, there are so many characters that you think, oh, they're an interesting, oh, they're dead. It's just like the amount of people that get killed off in the show is absolutely insane. So nobody is safe. It's really interesting to watch. The first season is actually pretty self-contained. I suspect the second season is also fairly self-contained as well. I'm only halfway through the season two right now, but it's really, really enjoyable and very, very worth watching. It's called Condor. You can go and find it on Now TV and on Sky box sets. So I would urge you to go watch that, particularly if you're into those sort of Fugitive 24 kind of things. So I thought this would probably be one for you, certainly.
Yeah, I'll maybe have a look at that.
I also watched the first episode of Next, which is a show I've been waiting for a while. It ran for one season on Fox. Technically, it was cancelled, although I am told the first season is pretty well self-contained. Hopefully, that is the case. If you've not heard of Next, stars John Slattery as Paul LeBlanc, who is the former CEO of a tech giant, so kind of an Elon Musk sort of type guy. He ends up helping Homeland cybersecurity team with a rogue AI, which was developed by his former company with the ability to constantly improve itself. So the idea is basically that if you invent an AI that's got a certain level of intelligence and has the ability to learn, it might be able to, say, improve itself by 5%. But if it can improve itself by 5%, it then has the ability to rewrite its code better by 5%. So it can then maybe rewrite its code again. And now it's 10% better. And then it's 20%, 30%. And exponentially, that kind of grows until it's suddenly 1,000 times more intelligent than anything else on the planet. So this runaway intelligence is the idea behind it. And this is based on real theories of artificial intelligence and what potentially could happen.
Well, Stephen Hawking did warn us about this type of stuff.
Exactly. So. You know, and Musk has actually warned about this type of stuff as well. You know, they all have sounded warnings about it, which is Paul LeBlanc's sort of point of this and one of the reasons why he doesn't work at the company anymore. I've only seen the first episode because this is going out weekly and they've only put the first episode up so far. But really interesting. It's a shame it didn't find an audience to kind of stay around a bit longer. It was on Fox in the US last year, I think they aired it. I am looking forward to watching the rest of that, though. Like I say, it's supposed to be relatively self-contained, so we'll see when I get to the end of it, but it is one worth going to look at.
I almost did watch it yesterday. I just ended up doing something else instead. I think it got too late, but I will we'll watch it maybe today or tomorrow or something. So because I remember the show being advertised a while ago, and of course Star wasn't a thing back then. Now that it's actually got a UK home, which is good, we can watch it properly.
It is definitely one that's going to be worth looking out for. There's some good stuff coming into Star. The other thing I watched was Assembled, which is a little documentary they put out after WandaVision finished. And it's an hour-long behind-the-scenes documentary of how they made the show. And if you're into that sort of thing, it is really fascinating because they talk about making the different TV eras, particularly interesting in how they made the original 50s one of sitting down with Dick Van Dyke. They went and had a meal with Dick Van Dyke because he had the Dick Van Dyke show, which was one of the touchstones for that first episode. And they actually went and talked to him and said, okay, how did you film this? How did you put it together? We want to get this as accurate as we possibly can. So even going as far as having the special effects in that first episode, rather than faking it with CGI, the special effects were all physical effects done on set with wires. Little things like that. They wanted to make it as authentic as possible as they were going through it. So it's been really interesting just watching how the various things came together. And there's not necessarily much you'll find out in terms of backstory or anything like that, or why certain characters were there and certain characters weren't. But just in terms of the whole production process, I found that really interesting. And that's Assembled, which is on Disney Plus. You can go and watch that now.
They've also been putting out, what's the name of it? I think it's Marvel Legends or something.
Yeah.
These little shorts that are sort of like recaps of characters. They put one out for the villain for Falcon and Winter Soldier, and they put one out for, well, Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
They're good. good little recaps, actually. I watched all three of them. I watched the other two with Wanda and Vision before that came out. There's a few little things that I forgot as well that were quite important, so I'd recommend going and watching that. They're only about 5 or 6 minutes long. It's just sort of a quick MCU recap for those characters, so maybe make sure you watch that before Falcon Winter Soldier starts this week.
That's
been quite good.
I haven't watched the Zemo one yet, which is the villain for Falcon and Winter Soldier. I haven't watched that yet, but I've watched the other four. They are quite useful, though. It's just as little recaps to remind you of the kind of key points of those characters.
I hope they do that for even the films and stuff. I hope that they carry on doing that because they're quite useful.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've had 23 films. We forget things here and there, maybe.
Yeah.
So it's good to get a recap.
Yeah, it is. They're really handy little recaps. They're the type of things you would expect usually to like find them shoving up on YouTube. I mean, I'm surprised they haven't, but they are quite useful, those. I will go and watch the Zemo one as well, because like you say, they're only like 5 minutes long or so. So they are called Legends, but that's a useful little series as well. So that's all the stuff we've been doing this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We kick off the TV and film news with the renewals, cancellations and pickups. Only one cancellation this week, Queen of the South, which is a USA Network series, airs on Netflix UK. That's going to end with season 5. I don't think any of us watch that, so, you know, no difference either way to us. But that, if you're a fan of that show, that is ending with its 5th season. Number of renewals, The Equalizer has been renewed for season 2 on CBS. That hasn't got a UK home yet. This is based on the film and the original TV show. It's got Queen Latifah in the lead role as the Equalizer in that, so they've gender switched the lead role for it. But that looks like it could be quite a good series. I'm hoping somebody over here will pick that up. Central Park, the Apple TV Plus series, has been renewed for season 3 early, so that is coming back. Selling Sunset and Bling Empire have been renewed for Netflix if you like those sort of reality TV shows. And Outlander, they announced over the weekend, that has been picked up for a 7th season before the 6th season has even aired. So that is good news as well, because there was some talk about that possibly coming to an end, but thankfully not. That will be back, which is great. And
Do you watch that?
Yeah, I love that show. It's really, really good. That will be coming back for a 7th season. She's still writing books as well, which is, you know, because each season is kind of based off each one of the books. And I think there are 9 books in total. I think there are 8 with the 9th coming. So hopefully they'll carry on doing it. While she's still writing books and there's still story to tell, they'll carry on going, I hope. In terms of pickups, Station 19 and Grey's Anatomy have both got dates for their new seasons. So Station 19 is starting on the 31st of March with part 1 of a crossover. 7th of April will be Grey's Anatomy season 17 with part 2 of that crossover, and the second episode of Station 19 will also go out on the 7th of April as well. And then there's another crossover coming up later on as well in the series. So if you're a fan of both those, they're back in 31st of March and then 7th of April. Camp Cretaceous is back for season 3, isn't it? That one? That's 21st of May that is returning, which is quick. A ridiculous turnaround. I mean, I know it's animation and they may have just been kind of working on it all the way through, but that's an insanely fast turnaround, because the last season only went out in, what, December, wasn't it?
January.
That's ridiculously quick for that third season. So maybe that they worked on it all at once and they just happened to split it into 2 halves, I don't know. But yeah, that is back for its 3rd season, so that was returning.
Still need to start season 2, but I shall do so soon.
Yeah.
Because I really enjoyed the first one, as I think I mentioned before.
I haven't tried it yet, but I know there's a lot of love for it out there. Wellington Paranormal, which is the show from Jermaine Clement and Takeda Waititi, which is one of their TV series. All 3 seasons of Wellington Paranormal are coming on the 5th of April at 9 p.m. to Sky Comedy and Now TV. and obviously Sky box sets. So they're going to start running them out from the 5th of April on Sky Comedy and Now TV, but all three seasons will be available as box sets from that date as well. The series basically follows two police officers who are invited to join the new Wellington Paranormal Unit, who are this people that investigate paranormal activity in New Zealand. They also are dealing with this demon who is a demon that can jump from bodies to bodies. It's a sort of silly kind of comedy. It's basically the same team that are from What We Do in the Shadows. I think there is actually a crossover with What We Do in the Shadows in the series as well. So You know the type of show that it's going to be, knowing that team are behind it. They're usually very, very funny. I adore Takito Waititi. His work is superb. And Jermaine Clement's great as well. That is coming. It's called Wellington Paranormal. It's coming on the 5th of April to Sky Comedy, Now TV, and all three seasons as a box set. So that's one to look out for. If you're wondering where Magnum has disappeared to on Sky, it's on a bit of a break because we caught up to the US and they went off air in the US. So 28th of March, that is returning in the UK. And also announced this morning that Amazon UK have picked up Leonardo, which is a show that we mentioned a while back, which is about the sort of life of Leonardo da Vinci. It stars Aidan Turner, who you'll know as one of the dwarves from the Hobbit movies, and Paul Dark, and what was it, Being Human, I think was the other thing he was in as well, and various other places. But Aidan Turner is the lead as Leonardo, and Freddie Highmore is also in it as well. It's from Frank Spodnick, who was the man behind The Man in the High Castle. So good team behind it. Looks really interesting. That has been picked up by Amazon UK, so that are the people who are going to be airing it over here. In terms of other pickups, Peacock, the US streaming service, has picked up Langdon, which is a TV series based on the Dan Brown novels. Follows the early adventures of the Harvard symbiologist Robert Langdon, who must solve a series of deadly puzzles to save his kidnapped mentor and thwart a chilling global conspiracy. It was originally developed for NBC, but has since moved across onto Peacock. It's Ashley Zuckerman from Succession in the title role. It's also got Eddie Izzard in there. It's got Rick Gonzalez in there from Arrow, Valerie Curry from Blair Witch, Bo Knapp from 7 Seconds, a few other people as well. That is going to series. It's going to use the 2009 novel The Lost Symbol as basis for the plot, which, if you know the books, is going to confuse you slightly, because this is doing what they did with Alex Rider, in that they've taken a book that is later in the book series run, but have moved it so it's earlier in the life of the character. They're doing essentially the same thing. They've just shifted the time frame. So it's going to use the plot of The Lost Symbol for the TV series first season. Of course, I mean, this isn't the first time it's been on screen. They've done cinema outings, which had mixed reviews, I think it's fair to say, on those cinema outings. But it comes from the co-creators of the Scream TV series and the short-lived drama The Crossing. Ron Howard and Brian Grazer are also exec producing, who are the people behind the movie franchise. But I quite like the idea of this. I can see this working as a series, and I think he's an interesting enough character. I don't know whether you have any thoughts on it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do here. I mean, you've got quite a good cast in here. You've got, what did you say his name was? Rick Gonzalez from Arrow. He was very, very good for a lot of seasons of that show. There's some potential for this to be fairly good. So just in terms of Peacock itself, why don't they just call it NBC Plus? just go with what everybody else is doing.
Well,
because you had CBS All Access rename itself to Paramount Plus.
So, yeah.
And everybody likes that name.
Yeah. I mean, that's
everybody likes the Plus thing. So.
Yes, the Plus thing seems to be quite popular. Well, Peacock, yeah. The reason it's called Peacock is because of the NBC logo.
Yeah.
So I kind of get it. And they don't need to call everything Plus necessarily. But as long as we get it over here, as you know, I mean, I know we're unlikely to get Peacock, but it's all owned by Comcast anyway, who owns Sky. So I think a lot of these shows should end up automatically coming to Sky. I mean, they don't automatically come to Sky, but should end up coming to Sky, hopefully, at some point. Yeah. So I think, and this has got sort of Sky written all over it, you know, as a sort of Sky Witness show, I suspect. So although it's not officially picked up by anybody over here, I think that's a strong contender for ending up on Sky Witness, I would have thought. In terms of other new shows over on the aforementioned Paramount Plus, Star Trek Strange New Worlds has begun filming finally after all the pandemic kind of held everything up. So that is now actually filming. It's announced 5 new cast members as well. Although annoyingly and frustratingly, as tends to happen with these, they haven't actually said who any of these people are playing. It's sort of whether they're playing crew members of the Enterprise, we don't know. Of course, Strange New Worlds is basically going to have Anson Mount back as Christopher Pike, Rebecca Romijn as Number One, and Ethan Peck as Spock. So it's following those in the years before Kirk took over the Enterprise. That's the sort of basic setup for it. There are obviously going to be other people on that ship. We don't know who exactly any of these are playing, whether there'll be characters that we're aware of or whether there'll be new creations. No idea. The people that are joining the show is Babs Olsemonku, whose television credits include roles on things like Black Mirror. He was in The Defenders as well, and The Night of the NBC series. He was also in the 2016 remake of the miniseries Roots as well. He's in the Dune movie that's upcoming soon as well. So he is one of the people taking a role. Christina Chong, who I'm guessing is a British actress, she was been in the live action adaptation of Tom and Jerry, which is going out at the moment. Sky One's Bulletproof. She was also in Black Mirror. She's been in Doctor Who. She was popped up in Line of Duty, Dominion, 24 Live Another Day, Johnny English Reborn. She was in as well. So she's been in a bunch of stuff. Celia Rose Gooding, who was, I think this may be her first major TV role. She was in Jagged Little Pill, which is the musical inspired by Alanis Morissette's award-winning album. She starred in that until Broadway was shut down last year and got a Tony nomination for Best Featured Actress in it. So there's a couple of people actually from Jagged Little Pill that I saw. There was another one maybe coming up later, or maybe one that we talked about last week, I can't remember, but there was somebody else that was supposed to be in that in that show and ended up on a TV show instead because it got shut down and she was supposed to be in it last year, but of course it's not been on Broadway because Broadway's not been open. So Jess Bush is also coming. She is an Australian actress. She has been on the indie film Skin and role of Kendall on Channel 10 series Playing for Keeps. She was also in the Australian series Halifax Retribution as well. And the last one is Melissa Navarra, who had a recurring role on AMC's critically acclaimed series Dietland, and she also had a guest role on Billions and on Homeland as well. So those are the actors that are coming, but we don't have any idea who they're actually playing, which is sort of frustrating, but it is now filming, which is good. I'm looking forward to this show.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. I'm looking forward to this and the, is it Section 31, the other spin-off that they're doing with Philippe Georgiou,
yes,
which I think is going to be quite good. Sort of taking a little bit of a, well, I guess Star Wars did it second, taking this sort of approach to where you do these backdoor pilots for other characters and then they go off and do their own show, but then you still have your main show ongoing because we've still got, you know, Michael and everybody else in the show. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing these characters back again. I think the casting that they chose in, you know, in the first place for the lead characters for this show were quite good. It was good to see them on Discovery. That was the season 2 mainly, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So that they left just after that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to what they're doing here. And it should also give the opportunity to just let these characters be sort of more fleshed out on their own, if that makes sense. Because then, although they got a lot of really good screen time in Discovery, it just gives you another chance to flesh them out even more. So I'm looking forward to that.
I like the idea of it because this is the one show which should feel far more like a traditional Star Trek series. Because much as I love Discovery, it's very much gone off and done its own sort of thing. And, you know, Picard was great, but that's set in the sort of Next Generation era. The nice thing about this is it's sort of going to be a new take on what was the original Star Trek, in that it sort of sounds like it's going to be far more episodic. It's going to be them discovering new worlds each week is sort of the idea of it. And it's the crew of the Enterprise. And you've got, you know, Spock, obviously, that you know, and Number One that you know, but it's going to have Pike as the captain rather than Kirk. I really like Anson Mount in that role. I think he's brilliant at it. So I'm very much looking forward to this. I think it could be a really, really solid series. Don't know when that's going to land exactly. It's probably going to be, I would guess, towards the end of the year. But that is filming now, they've announced. So that is good. Cool. Another thing which has been put in development, this time for Netflix, it's a show based on the novel The Talisman, which is coming from the Duffer Brothers, who are the people behind Stranger Things, and Steven Spielberg. And it's based on a Stephen King and Peter Straub novel. I don't know the novel particularly well, but the story follows Jack Sawyer, a 12-year-old boy who sets off on an epic adventure to find a relic, the Talisman, in an attempt to save his mother, who is dying from cancer. His journey not only takes him across America's heartland, but also its fantasy alternative universe twin known as the Territories. In the parallel world, violence, surprise, and a titanic struggle between good and evil reaches across the mythic landscape. So it's sort of interesting. It sounds like it's going to have this otherworldly kind of quality, like maybe American Gods did, in that it's set in this reality, but there's a sort of another slightly off reality sat underneath it, which is the same thing as Stranger Things, actually, as well, to a certain extent.
Yeah, with the Upside Down. Yeah.
The book was originally published in 1984, but Spielberg himself actually pre-bought the screen rights when he heard about the idea from Stephen King. He bought the screen rights in 1982, 2 years before it was published. He then spent the next 39 years attempting making a film version of it, but never actually managed to get it anywhere. There have been a few scripts that have been produced, but this is the sort of farthest it's actually got up until this point of actually being in production.
Time.
But I think, given the people that are behind it, the fact that it's the Duffer Brothers, who did amazing work with Stranger Things, Curtis Gwynne, who has previously worked with the Duffers on Stranger Things, he's also worked on Narcos, Walking Dead, The Leftover, he's going to be the writer and the showrunner on it. So that's a really strong CV from him. Spielberg is exec producing along with the Duffer Brothers and some other people from Amblin Television. Stephen King himself is also exec producing along with Paramount Television. Technically, it is still in development, although it's for Netflix, and I imagine they're going to be throwing quite a lot of money at this, given the people that are involved in it. So I suspect it will land at some point. But yeah, they are still working on it at the moment. I think this sounds quite interesting, this series.
Yeah. Just kind of agreeing with what you said a second ago there about them, if they greenlight it. I mean, the Duffer Brothers, who've worked on, you know, arguably Netflix's biggest show. I know they've had, you know, The Crown and other award-winning shows, but Stranger Things is probably top three, top two, if not the biggest thing Netflix has worked on. So given that they're involved with this, and it's similar in a way, but sounds a little bit different enough to where they're not sort of repeating the same thing. A lot of good people behind it, like you said. Do you think that this would likely happen? I mean, we don't know how many more seasons of Stranger Things we're going to get. We know we've at least got one, probably two more seasons at least. Do you think that they would probably do this after Stranger Things is finished, or maybe both at the same time?
It's possible they'll do it both at the same time, although I suspect they'll maybe, you know, if there is, there's probably only going to be a small overlap, because I don't think Stranger Things is going to run on for that much longer. Like you say, there is definitely one more season coming. Whether there's another season after that, we'll have to wait and see, but I suspect they're not going to go on, you know, it's not going to be like a 20 season thing, Stranger Things. It's gonna end at some point.
Plus, those young actors are getting
exactly
older.
Yeah, so. You know, I mean, there's no reason why you couldn't keep it running with them getting a bit older, but I suspect you're going to end it in the next few seasons. They aren't directly showrunning or writing this. They're exec producing, sort of quite hands-on exec producing by the sounds of it, but they are exec producing it. So there's no reason, I don't think, why they couldn't end up doing both shows. And it sounds like it's in fairly safe hands with somebody like Curtis Gwynne, because, I mean, they know him from Stranger Things, but, you know, Narcos was brilliant, Walking Dead, well, pick your seasons, but, you know, and Leftovers, you know, was critically acclaimed as well. So I think that's a fairly strong person to be working on it. And, you know, so it's possibly something they could do at the same sort of time, or it could be something they transition to afterwards. It's hard to know. But given that they're not showrunning it, I think you could possibly do both.
Have you seen Leftovers?
I haven't, no. I think I saw a couple of episodes of it, but I, I don't know. Just never grabbed me.
It's only got 28 episodes.
Yeah.
Because you got two seasons of 10 and the last one, which is 8. So.
Yeah. That is, it's called The Talisman, and it's in development for Netflix at the moment, so it may or may not land, but I suspect it probably will. And lastly, The Powerpuff Girls, which we've been talking about quite a bit recently because they recently picked it up on the CW. We now have a cast for The Powerpuff Girls. Now, this is pilot. It's not necessarily a series, so they've picked it up for a pilot. For the uninitiated, The Powerpuff Girls was an animated series created by Craig McCracken. It follows the adventures of Blossom, Bubbles, and Buttercup, who were three kindergarten-age girls with an array of superpowers who saved the world, or at least their city of Townsville, from monsters, would-be conquerors, and other gross things. So the CW show obviously isn't going to feature three kindergarten-age kids. What they've done for the CW is it's in live action. The Powerpuff Girls are no longer preteens. They are now disillusioned 20-somethings who resent having their lost childhood stolen from them whilst they spent it crime-fighting. They now have to agree to reunite to save a world that needs them more than ever. Chloe Bennett, who you will know from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as Sky/Daisy/Quake on that show, she is taking the role of Blossom, who is a spunky, conscientious, Little Miss Perfect child who holds several advanced degrees, but also has repressed kiddie superhero trauma, which left her feeling anxious and reclusive. She aims to become a leader again, this time on her own terms. Dove Cameron is set to play Bubbles, whose sweet girl disposition won America's heart as a child. She still sparkles as an adult, but her charming exterior belies an unexpected toughness and wit. She's initially more interested in recapturing her fame than saving the world, but she just might surprise us and herself. She is an actress and singer, best known as her role as Mal in the Descendants films, or for playing Livy and Maddie in the Disney series Livy and Maddie. She also popped up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where she played the villain Ruby in season 5 as well. Yana Peralt is set to play Buttercup, who was the rebellious badass of the Powerpuff Girls in her heyday. More sensitive than her tough exterior suggests, Buttercup has spent her adulthood trying to shed her Powerpuff Girls identity and live an anonymous life. So this was the woman I was talking about, who was originally cast on Jagged Little Pill on Broadway and previously starred in that. She was due to join the cast of Hamilton, and then the pandemic shut everything down, which sucks. So that's that must really suck. She also writes and performs her own music as well. I do wonder whether there is going to be some sort of musical element to this show, because for those of you who don't know, Chloe Bennett had a singing career prior to being on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She went under the name of Chloe Wang, which is her original name. She was, I think it was either China or Japan, but she had quite a large singing career. Dove Cameron also is a singer as well, and Yana is a singer. So I do wonder if there's maybe going to be some musical numbers, or if that
they're bound to do a musical episode, yeah.
There must be some musical numbers in there somewhere, because they all have a singing background. The pilot script for it comes from Diablo Cody, best known for the brilliant movie Juno, along with the drama series United States of Tara, along with Heather Regner, who worked on things like Veronica Mars, Sleepy Hollow, Falling Skies, and iZombie. It is a Berlanti production, so it's Greg Berlanti, Sarah Schuster, David Madden from Berlanti Productions producing on it, and it's WB producing the series, assuming it goes to series. It is only a pilot at the moment, so it may not go anywhere, although CW is usually reasonably good at picking up their pilots. We'll have to wait and see. I mean, I know this has really angered some fans of the Powerpuff Girls because of what they've done with it. Reading the descriptions and stuff, I quite like the idea of it, because it's sounding a little bit Umbrella Academy to me, in that you've got these group of kids that were teen superheroes. They've now grown up into disillusioned adults, and they're sort of brought back together to become superheroes again. And that's very much the sort of setup of Umbrella Academy. So I think it can work. I think they're very distinct character types. We'll have to wait and see where it goes. But I mean, I Powerpuff Girls is very much not my generation, so I don't think I've ever seen an episode of it. But
I think the one thing that's going to either destroy or save this show is, what is the balance going to be? Because these aren't just normal teenagers. These have got like powers and stuff. From what I remember and understand, understand about Powerpuff Girls. I didn't like watch much. I can't remember how much I've seen of it, but I've seen, you know, some of it. We all know what the Powerpuff Girls and that are.
Yeah,
I think it's going to depend the actual balance of how much screen time are you going to spend on teenage drama and how much screen time are you going to spend on actual powers.
Yeah,
because if I'm to look at something like the reboot of Charm, not the original, the original was fine, plus they were more adult characters, they weren't really doing, you know, teenage drama because they were adults and stuff. The one thing that that show fell into, which this also could, is a bit too much of a focus on our love lives and teenage drama. And I get that you're going to have that because these are teenage characters, but there's also like, hey, don't forget that these people also have powers. You need to make storylines around that, do character development around that. How is that going to affect the characters around them that don't know that they've got powers? There's a lot there. So I think you're either going to completely destroy the show or save it just based on, well, you got to write it well as well to actually execute those storylines well. But just the core balance of teenage drama and actual focus on the fact that these characters can do special things. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. And the CW can be sometimes good, sometimes not so good with that. So we'll just see how that works. I think this cast is very good. You know, you've got Chloe Bennett in here, who's done a very, very good job on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think the casting's here is great. And the casting could, again, be an element that really saves the show because it will just be enjoyable to watch these actresses on screen because they're very good.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. When it comes to that, I'm interested in this partly because I think the cast is good. Also, mm-hmm. I think the team behind it, I mean, Diablo Cody made some really interesting films and TV shows. Heather Rainier, who is to say Veronica Mars, Sleepy Hollow, Falling Skies, Eye Zombie are things that she's written on, all of which have been really good shows. So I'm just really intrigued. I think they've got a team there that could definitely pull this off, despite the fact that I know it will probably anger some Powerpuff Girls fans, but I think when I originally talked about this with Bex, who knows the property much better than I do, did sort of say it sounds a bit like they've basically taken a name and that is sort of unrelated and stuck it on to sell it, which is quite possible, but
just using the IP for a name.
Yeah, because it isn't going to be, you know, what the cartoon was, but I don't think you could do a show which was what the cartoon was, so it needed to be something else. So I don't know, we'll see, but I'm interested to see how this pilot turns out, certainly, and I will see whether it actually goes to series, but we'll let you know if we hear more.
One other trope I don't want the show to use, it will probably do this, so I'm already prepared for them to do it, a situation where one of the characters finds a love interest, that love interest finds out that they've got the powers, that love interest character then says, I want you to either choose the life of being with me and ditching your powers,
or that
kind of thing. That can be really irritating.
Yeah.
So I hope that they don't do that. I think they probably will, but we'll see. So
yes, we'll see. So that's most of the news we've got this week. They did just announce the Oscars nominations this morning as well. I'm not going to go through everything because there's a lot of things that if you've seen any of the other award ceremonies, names that you will suspect in here. Judas and the Black Messiah nominated for Best Picture. Nomadland also nominated. Trial of Chicago 7 nominated for Best Picture. Chadwick Boseman's in there for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, in actor in a leading role. Gary Oldman for Mank. Mank's come up a few times. Viola Davis for Ma Rainey as well. Interesting, the now Oscar nominated in a leading actor role, Stephen Yeun for a film called Minari.
Oh,
so
cool.
Former Walking Dead star, former Walking Dead Glenn, he's nominated in that. Sacha Baron Cohen nominated, and Daniel Kaluuya for Trial of Chicago 7 and Judas and the Black Messiah. Olivia Colman in there for a film called The Father. And there's quite a lot of them are combinations of Judas and the Black Messiah, a film called The Sound of Metal, Trial of Chicago 7, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Mank. A few technical nominations for Mulan in terms of things like the costume design and the music as well. Interesting collection of things. But the fact that the name that's leapt out at me was the fact that Stephen Yeun is nominated in there, which is congratulations to him. That's awesome. That's all the news for this week. Let's move on to some highlights for next week on TV. Highlights for next week. We have Fresh Off the Boat, which returns for its sixth and final season on Comedy Central. That's on the 18th of March at 8 p.m. The Good Fight is back on the 18th of March at 9 p.m. That is two more four. So that is returning. Taskmaster returns for its 11th season. That's on Channel 4 on the 18th of March at 9 p.m. as well. The long-awaited, much-anticipated Zack Snyder's Justice League, they announced that will be coming on the 18th of March to Sky Cinema and Now TV. So this will be, if you have the movie package, it will be part of the movie package. It's not like a separate thing you have to go and buy or rent at a premium or anything like that. It will be part of the movie package. You'll be able to get it that way. It's a four-hour movie of the Justice League. It's Zack Snyder's cut of the Justice League rather than the Whedon version, which was the cinematic release. I'm very much looking forward to seeing what this is like, even though they have said it's basically a road to nowhere. They're not like suddenly going to revive the Snyderverse after this. Although that's what WB is saying at the moment. I do wonder if this goes down incredibly well, whether they may reverse that decision, but that's what they're saying right now. But 18th of March on Sky Cinema and Now TV, that lands in the UK.
I have to plan when to watch that, because you don't really just stick on a four-hour film, because no, that's quite long.
It may be something, the problem is avoiding like spoilers for it. Yeah, so yeah. I may be a case of having to get up in the morning on the 18th and just sit and watch it for 4 hours. I'll have to wait and see.
Man United have also got a huge game on Thursday night, so that's that as well. A game that we basically have to win or we'll out of a competition, basically.
Oh no, what a shame. So, Bob's Burgers, that is back for season 11 on Comedy Central on the 19th of March at 10 p.m. Falcon and Winter Soldier starts on the 19th of March as well. That's on Disney Plus, so that is something that I will going to have to sit down and watch first thing in the morning, which is Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan reprising their MCU roles. So that I am very, very much looking forward to. The Flight Attendant, that comes to Sky One on the 19th of March at 9 p.m. I've seen the first episode of that. That is superb, so definitely worth going to watch it. Kaylee Cuoco as a flight attendant that wakes up in the wrong hotel, in the wrong bed, and with a dead guy. The first episode is brilliant. It's got elements of dark comedy and thriller in it. It's really fun and well worth watching. That's 19th of March at 9 p.m. on Sky One. 21st of March, 9 p.m. Line of Duty returns for season 6, which I'm very much looking forward to. This will be the first time I'm actually watching it live rather than catching up with it, which means I'm going to have to wait for it weekly, whereas I'm used to just binging through the entire thing. I really, really enjoyed that series. Very much looking forward to that coming back. And Midsummer Murders returns for part 2 of season 21. That is on the 21st of March at 8 p.m. This is like one or two episodes. They drip feed the episodes out in little bits. So it's either one or two episodes that are coming out from the 21st of March. So that will be back for Midsummer Murders at 8 p.m. on ITV.
Two HBO Max things in 1 week.
Yeah, which is good.
Times are changing.
Two HBO Max things, one Disney Plus thing. Yeah, all good. So, if people want to find more of your stuff, where can they find you?
If you want to hear me talk about more of my opinions on TV, video games, films, and Manchester United, you can go to entertainmenttalk.org. You can search for Entertainment Talk on podcast platforms. You can subscribe to one of the many feeds or just the main one. It's up to you what you choose to do there. I do stream regularly on Twitch now as well, because I'm actually able to do it because we've got a router that works better. So you can expect more Twitch streams. eTalk UK on Twitch for that week. You can either search for eTalk UK on Twitch or go to twitch.tv/eTalkUK. Just bear in mind, just a bit of a warning, I know that this is obviously a family friendly show, but if I'm playing Call of Duty, people will be swearing. So just keep in mind that if I'm playing that game, bear in mind that the people will be swearing.
Yes.
Because they'll be getting killed. They'll be angry about it. But if it's any other game, then probably won't be happening. Just a bit of a warning for that. But
yes.
Yeah, Twitch, eTalkUK, and entertainmenttalk.org.
So you can go find that over there. Bex, of course, you can find at twitch.tv/TristaBytes. That's Trista, B-Y-T-E-S. You can go and find her over on there, streaming daily in various evenings. There was a hilarious stream yesterday where she was assembling a gaming chair, managed not to kill herself or injure herself, which was quite impressive. Despite standing on the chair when she was told not to, she didn't fall off, which was tempting fate. But yes, very, very funny. Well worth going to watch her just general stupid chatter and retro gameplay over there. Well worth going to see. Daryl, you can find over at Hollywood HollywoodNorthNews.net for all those TV series you love which are shot in Canada. So lots of superhero and sci-fi and other Canadian drama over there. For us, you can find us at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.